Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. Today, we'll be speaking with the person I consider one of the hardest working developers in the software business today, John Sommez, about his awesome new book, Soft Skills, The Software Developer's Life Manual. But before we get into it, let's hear it for our awesome sponsors, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. John Sommez is the founder of Simple Programmer. He's a Pluralsight author. He actually has some of the best Selenium test automation training on Pluralsight that I've ever taken. A programmer, and he's also a life coach for software developers. So he really helps software engineers and programmers to really boost their careers and live a more fulfilling life. And that's what his new book's all about, Soft Skills, The Software Developer's Life Manual. Make sure to listen all the way to the end to learn how to win a free killer offer from John. Check it out. Hey, John, welcome back to Test Talks.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
So we had you on episode 3 talking about test automation frameworks, but today I really want to go over your awesome new book called Soft Skills, The Software Developer's Life Manual. So why did you write Soft Skills?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's a couple of, I think, threads that led me to writing this book. One of the biggest ones was that I kept getting approached about writing a book, and I didn't want to write just a technical book that would go out of date. I wanted to, you know, some of my favorite books in software development were things like Code Complete and Clean Code, books that were more evergreen and it would last a longer period of time. So I definitely didn't want to write a technical book. And then when I thought about, you know, what was the most important thing, you know, how could I impact the development community the best? What kind of thing could I do, you know, better than anything else that would be helpful? I thought about what would have been helpful to me in my career. You know, how could I possibly have advanced my career 10 years in the future, 10 years back? Like, what kind of book would I want to have in my hands, you know? And that's what led me to write Soft Skills. I wanted to kind of take all the different things that I learned over my career, all the things I learned from talking to really successful software developers, and condense it all into one book that really would help someone not just become a better software developer, but really become a better person and be more successful and, you know, and just all the things that I had picked up over this time. So that's where the idea for Soft Skills came from.
It really does cover everything. It covers career, how to market yourself, learning, productivity, financial, fitness, spirit. It is very awesome, and it is very evergreen, like you said. So if someone bought this, this is pretty much going to be relevant today, as it will be, you know, probably 10, 20 years out, hopefully.
Yeah, that's definitely the hope for it. I tried to make the content as much as possible. And, you know, I mean, the content lends itself because this is definitely not a technical book, right? This book is like what it's called, Soft Skills. It's kind of based on principles. All the things that I try to talk about are based on things that shouldn't change, that are things that are always going to be the right way to approach things. And, you know, a lot of it is my personal experience. A lot of it's just what I've seen working. This is kind of the idea behind here is that it's a book that's going to help you to avoid the kind of pitfalls and kind of get a head start. And even if you're already into your career to, you know, to figure out how to do things, like maybe if you want to go out and work on your own, you know, and become an entrepreneur or launch a product or become a consultant. So that's kind of the idea there.
Why do you think it's so important that we manage our careers as developers and testers?
Well, you know, the way that I look at it is I always kind of draw this analogy of a ship. If you're in a ship, if you've got a boat, and we're all in a boat of some sort, right? If you don't know where you're going, then it's really hard to get there. And so a lot of us kind of just get in the ship and, you know, we're just sort of letting the ocean take us wherever it's going to take us. And sometimes you're going to arrive on an island, or sometimes you'll hit some landmass. It might not be the one you planned out because you didn't plan anything out, but it might not be good, right? So the idea is that if you don't have a real good target, you're at the mercy of the ocean, wherever your career is going to drift you to. And a lot of times that you might end up in a place that you don't want to be. So by thinking about your career, by thinking about how you're going to manage that and what direction you want to go, you can then steer in that direction and actually make really good progress towards your goals, you know, when you have goals. So I think that's really something that a lot of developers don't consider. A lot of people in the technology industry in general don't consider. They just sort of go wherever things take them, wherever opportunities take them, instead of actively managing, actively looking at, you know, how can they improve? What direction are they going? You know, where do they want to end up?
How do they go about navigating that ship? So is there one thing you see that most developer or engineers are doing wrong managing their careers?
You know, I think the biggest piece of it really, and you can see this through my products and through the book itself, is this idea of, you know, I've called it marketing yourself, but really what it is it's going, getting out there and connecting with the community and sharing what you know. And that's, I think a lot of developers, a lot of technology professionals are sort of a little bit reclusive, right? They don't get out there. They don't see what the benefit is. They work on their skills, and it's good to work on your skills, but you have to sort of spread that knowledge out. You have to build somewhat of a reputation for yourself in the software development industry, in the testing industry, whatever niche that you're in order to really, really see an effective return on your investment. That's when your career really starts to take off. I've interviewed a lot of different very good software developers like Uncle Bob Martin and Scott Hanselman, and I've, you know, had the pleasure of talking with a lot of really successful developers at conferences and whatnot. And constantly, one thing that they always talk about is having how their blog and how their outreaches have helped their career. And then when you just look at what the things that they're doing, it's, you know, these are the most successful developers, the most successful technology people are usually the people that are actively working on putting information out there, putting value out there for others, just like you're doing with this podcast, right? This is what I encourage people to do, because by doing that, that's what really, you're providing value to others. You get that value coming back to you.
What I really like about the book is it doesn't have a victim mentality to it. The book kind of empowers you to say that you're responsible for your career, and here's how you can market yourself better in order to have a better career, rather than blame, you know, the economy or, you know, I'm too old. I really like the way it was written in a way that, you know, you do have control of your career. You just have some basic things that you probably want to do in order to become more visible.
Exactly. And I think, you know, one thing about that is anyone can do this. When I first started out, I used to read MSDN magazine, the Microsoft, you know, developer magazine, and I used to look at the authors that were in there, and I'd say, wow, I could never be like those guys, man, that's awesome. Or you know, I'd see books on the bookshelf, I'd be like, wow, those guys are awesome. I don't know how they must have got a lucky break. How did they get into that? And I thought I could never be like that, right? And then as I started doing Pluralsight courses and I'm suddenly hanging out with those people that I had admired, I started to realize, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is, anyone could do this. This is not that difficult. Like, we tend to think that we can't do that, but there's so few people out there in the technology community that are willing to do the steps necessary because they think they don't have a chance at it. But if you can realize that you can do this, if you start a blog, if you are willing to put a little bit of effort into your career, into doing a little bit of promotion and putting yourself out there, you can absolutely do it just simply because there's so few people. You will stand out. It's hard to convince someone, I think, but trust me when I say this, that anyone taking this kind of action is going to stand out far from the crowd, and there's so few people doing it that it has a much bigger return than most people would expect.
One of those benefits of just having a blog, I think, just making yourself visible that way within Google searching, just doing that one step, I think, would have a huge impact on someone's career. So is there 4 bullet points you would give someone in order to get started? Would it be start a blog, start a podcast, create an ebook, and then create an e-course? Is it that simple, or is it different depending on what you're trying to achieve, basically?
Well, you know, I always go back to the blog thing as a good starting point for most developers. In fact, I just released a free 3-week email course on how to create a blog to boost your career. And I did that because I feel that the blogging is so important, just because it's something that's accessible. Everyone can do it. It's something that, like you said, when someone Googles your name, they're going to find your blog. And when they go and they look at your blog post, that's going to be better than any interview. They're going to have time to really see that you are, one, passionate, and two, that you know what you're talking about, and get a good feel for who you are and what your skills are. So I think that's a really, really big thing. Even if you never come up, even if your blog is never super popular or successful, at least it's going to be a really, really good resume. And when you do this, see, the other piece of the blogging is that writing, it is a extremely valuable skill. You know, and believe me, I know there's a lot of people that don't consider themselves good writers. I was a horrible writer when I first started my blog. I'm still not the best writer, but I'm getting better. At least people can tolerate my writing now. But, you know, my point is that writing is such a valuable skill because it helps you to organize your thoughts. And this is something that's critical just in general in life, but especially for software developers who have to constantly communicate their thoughts to coworkers, to bosses, to other people that they're working with. So, you know, that's definitely the big bullet that I would say is getting the blog together. Once you've done that, then there's a lot of different places to branch out to, depending on what you are interested in and what you have time for. You know, podcasting, I think, as you've discovered, Joe, there's a lot of opportunity from there. I maintain a list of developer podcasts. If you search for like the ultimate list of, if you just search for developer podcasts, it's number one result in Google. And I just updated that list, I think last night, and I knocked off 13 podcasts that were defunct.
Wow.
Because they die out, right? And I looked in the Java category, in just pure Java, there's now none. Java Posse was like the number one Java podcast. Now there's not really any major Java podcast out there that's solely dedicated to Java. So there's huge opportunities there. Another one is video, right? You could go out and create YouTube videos, do tutorials. There's huge opportunities there. You could start writing for magazines. You could start writing a book. You could self-publish a book. I know that you've self-published a book, Joe. So these are all opportunities that are available. And it depends on what road you're going. If you're going to be a career developer, then you might go a different road. If you're going to eventually become an entrepreneur and try to sell your own things, then you're going to want to build up an audience and then market specifically to that audience. So there's a lot of different ways to go. I usually say start with the blog, though.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I know you have a section in here about hacking an interview. And I think you tell this story sometimes of how what would it be like if you go in an interview and someone says, oh, I read your blog and I read your articles. Like, how easy would it be to get that job if you went on an interview and you had an active blog and someone actually read it that was interviewing you? It's like an instant in almost.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, I think this is one key thing that I really try to emphasize. If you'll notice in that chapter, I don't really talk about interview strategies, because my belief on interviews, being on both sides of the table, is that interviewing, generally, if you have the skills, interviewers hire people that they like. Mm. And I had the pleasure of working with a startup guy, Anthony, who's running this startup called Health Hero that I'm a tech advisor on. And I got to see him work. He's an extremely aggressive person. And we had applied for some of the startup incubators, like Techstars and things like that. And the way that he did this approach is he called up, he messaged, sent some emails to the people who were going to interview us before time and asked to meet them, to touch base with them ahead of time. And I thought, what? This is kind of crazy. What are you doing here? You know, you're gonna tick these people off. But he had a 100% success rate and meeting with them ahead of time. So it was like a pre-interview. They already liked him. They were giving him hints about the interview, right? And I was like, wow, this is crazy. Because I was sitting there in on the interviews. You know, they interviewed us both. And then it really started to click for me because when we went into the in-person interviews, we pretty much nailed it. They were already rooting for us. They had already decided that they were going to select us for the program. So we ended up getting into a bunch of these really hard to get into startup incubators, and we had to choose between them. So, you know, that just kind of gives you you can apply that same approach as a software developer, as a QA person, whatever your field is. If you can, you know, get the person to like you first, you know, don't go in the front door, go around the back door, figure out how can you, you know, develop a relationship ahead of time. And then the interview becomes a formality. You know, the same thing, it helps definitely to have the blog because someone will have already looked up your information or maybe they know you from your blog. But there's a lot of ways to be able to do this that a lot of people don't think about. That, you know, the key thing is we hire people that we like. And so how can you get an interviewer to like you before the actual interview?
Definitely. I don't know if this is a weasel move, but I've actually done this in the past. So I see a job opening at a company and I look at what they're looking for, and it may not be something that I've been actively working on. So I'll go out and start posting a bunch of different posts specific around those exact requirements. And then I'll apply for the job. And then I actually got a job this way, and they see, oh, this guy is doing exactly what we want. Let's get him in for an interview. I mean, you could do things like that. It's just simple things like that, that it actually opens up a big door for you.
Yeah, totally. And I wouldn't call that a weasel move at all. That's smart. I mean, when you think about it, if you came in for a job and then an interview and I asked you, hey, it looks like you kind of posted that stuff just to make it look like you're the perfect fit for that job. And you said, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I would say, you're hired because I want someone like that working for me. You know what I mean? Like most smart employers would realize that someone who's that strategic is going to be a huge asset for that company. So a lot of these tactics, you know, some people look at them and say, well, this is tactics that someone would frown on, especially when I say having your resume professionally written and things like that that I recommend. I'm like, well, the right employer is going to see how good this is. Like if you're the kind of person that's willing to do these things, think outside of the box and do this to get a job, that means when you're working for them, you're going to be constantly, you know, sidestepping barriers that are in your way, figuring out other ways to get around, you know, instead of the direct approach. And that's the kind of person that I want working for me. I know, and a lot of other employers feel the same way.
Absolutely. So we've talked about starting a blog, possibly doing some videos. So I could just imagine someone thinking, oh, that's great. I work 9 to 5. You know, when am I going to have time to do that? How much time do you think it actually takes in order to post, or how often should they post at a high level? Can you let us know how much time does it take to do this, basically?
Sure. Okay. So here's what I usually recommend now, because I get this a lot. It's like, well, John, but you run simpleprogrammer.com. You do this full time. Of course, you know, your whole job is to market yourself and promote your stuff and produce content. But what about us developers that are working a 9 to 5 job, or, you know, how do we do this? So my big answer to this is, well, first of all, I've been there. I've been in your shoes. It's not like I just, you know, popped out and started simpleprogrammer.com and just started making enough money to live off of it. I worked a 9 to 5 while working in the evenings, you know, 4 to 5 hours a night, and on weekends trying to get this whole thing going. But that doesn't mean that's what you have to do. In fact, if you're just looking to get started here, what I usually recommend, and, you know, hindsight being 2020, this is what I would do, is I say just wake up 1 hour earlier every day, right? Everyone can do this. Everyone can wake up 1 hour earlier. It might mean going to bed 1 hour earlier or whatever, but if you can, 1 hour. And you know how your dad always says, you know, pay yourself first with your paycheck.
Yep,
at least that's what my dad used to tell me, right? He used to say, you know, you take your 10%, you pay yourself first, and then you pay your bills and pay everything else. Pay yourself first with your time. So this is one critical thing. Before you go into your work, into your job, and spend the time, you know, getting drained and being exhausted, give yourself that first hour of the day. Every morning, wake up 1 hour earlier, pay yourself first with your time, and devote that hour to furthering your career, whether it be writing blog posts, whether it be doing, you know, videos or podcasts or whatever you're doing, you know, just, or even reading, even developing your skills, whatever it is, take that hour. And if you did that 5 days a week, that's 5 hours a week. You could put out a blog post easily, you know, in that period of time. You could do a lot of things. And the thing is, you have to look at it over time, right? If you're giving yourself an hour a day every morning for, you know, 5 days a week, assuming you're doing it on weekdays, and you do that for 52 weeks in a year, that's going to add up to a lot of hours, and that's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to be able to accomplish. You could actually build a whole entire side business, and I've heard of people that have done it in just, you know, an hour a day every morning, especially when you're giving yourself your most fresh hour during the day.
Absolutely. Invest in yourself. It's probably the best investment you can make. I think all the advice in your book, like you just gave, is really well balanced. You're not telling anyone to do anything really crazy. I think sometimes people hear, you know, the software developer's life manual, and they probably think, I don't know, you'd have to invest, you know, 20 hours or a day, or, you know, you have to do more than what you would think. But everything in here, from fitness to what you eat, it's all practical. So that's what I love about the book, one of the things.
Thanks. Yeah. I try to keep it that way because, you know, these are real things that I do. These are real things that I think I've heard of other people doing. And if it's not practical, it's not going to, you know, you can do extreme things. And from time to time, I do extreme things myself. But, you know, just like, you know, especially in the fitness side, when I'm talking to people about getting in shape, it has to be sustainable.
Right.
And if you try to do something that's not, you know, the secret to success, right? When you look at most of the successful people, what it is that they know how to every day put one brick in their wall, right? And build that wall built over time. The secret is consistency. It's over time. You know, a good example that I use is you could go and run a marathon, right? Or you could run, you know, just a couple of miles three times a week for a year, which is going to have a bigger impact. The marathon, you know, is going to be much harder to do, right? But it's not going to matter. And a lot of times what we tend to do is we try to do that marathon, right? We're like, okay, I'm going to hit this really hard and I'm going to do some crazy thing. And it's not nearly as effective as doing some simple, easy thing, but doing it a lot. And so that's really the key is, like, don't burn yourself out. Don't go crazy trying to do something that's not sustainable. Instead, think about every day I'm going to move the ball just a little bit forward. I'm going to put a brick in my wall. And, you know, in 100 days, I'm going to have a wall. In 100 days, I'm going to have moved that ball really far.
Absolutely. So you just talked about fitness, and that's another great thing about this book. It covers topics you normally don't see, like fitness and finances. So I know your background already because I've read the book, but for the people that don't, why do you feel you're qualified to speak about fitness and, you know, real estate?
Sure. So, you know, on the fitness side, I've been lifting weights since I've been probably like 15 years old. And, you know, I've gone through, I actually competed in bodybuilding competitions before. You know, fitness has been an integral part of my life. I've actually gone on the downtrend and gained a bunch of weight when I had a pec tear and was feeling really discouraged, and then lost, you know, like 100 pounds over a year. So I'm not trained in nutrition. I'm not trained in these things, but I've been living this lifestyle. I've seen what works for me. I've coached and helped a lot of other people. So again, I'm not a necessarily what I would call an educated expert in these areas, but I have practical advice in this area that worked for me. Being a software developer, sitting at my desk, working this kind of job, I've got kind of tailored advice for other software developers. And hey, I'm at like, 9% body fat right now. I'm not just talking the talk. I'm walking it. I do it, you know, day in, day out. And I found out what's success, what works for me, and what can help make someone successful. On the same token, on the real estate side, I do have a real estate license, or I did, in Idaho. I haven't kept it up. But I've been doing real estate investment since I was 18 years old. When I first got out of high school, I never rented a house. I just bought a house because I didn't want to pay rent. And I learned, you know, trial by fire. Believe me, it was not easy. But I've been able to take those real estate investments and take all the money that I've made in my career and invest it in real estate and parlay it into basically, you know, a retirement. I've been able to essentially, I could stop working if I want now, and I could basically just live off of my real estate investments. So I've kind of learned, you know, I've read tons of books on real estate. I own something like, I think, 26 units right now that I rent out. And I've been doing this, you know, for since I was 18 years old. So I've got a lot of advice there that I think is practical, real. You know, it's not the kind of get rich quick advice that I think a lot of people peddle, but it's what actually worked for me. And you can read my story in one of the chapters in the book. I lay it all out. I tell you exactly how I did it. And you know where I got lucky, where I had had a lot of missteps, but yeah, that's where I think, you know, again, in either of those areas, I'm not, you know, I don't have a degree, I'm not formally educated in those areas, but I self-educated myself, and I show you what works, what I found from my personal experience, and what doesn't work, and I think that's a benefit to a lot of people. To both of those areas, right? I'd say fitness and real estate or investment in general are areas that are filled with a lot of charlatans. You know, it's hard to separate the noise, right? And that's what I try to do is I try to say, look, this is just an honest approach. I'm just giving you, I'm not trying to sell you some fitness gear. I'm not trying to sell you some real estate, you know, scheme or something like that. I'm just telling you what I know. So that's kind of the value that I can provide there, I think, is that it's, you know, it's not BS advice. It's just being genuine and authentic.
Absolutely. And also what I love about the book, it's almost like choose your own adventure. You're not saying you have to do these 10 steps in order to be successful. You're saying, here are some different things to try. Here's what I did. Here's some other options. So they're not locked into, they have to follow some sort of system from beginning to end in order to be successful.
Right, exactly. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that I really try to emphasize with the book too, and in general, is that we tend to like be locked into these systems, right? We think that life is supposed to go a certain way because we're told that we're supposed to go to school, you know, get a degree, and then, you know, get a job and put money in your 401k, and then eventually you retire and all that. And it's like, well, there's a whole lot of other options. There's a lot of different ways to live your life, and I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but I give you some suggestions, you know, and just if I can open up someone's eyes to say that the path is a lot bigger than the path that kind of society preaches towards us, and that you have a lot more options than I've done my job, because that's something that, you know, my eyes weren't opened until much later in my life than I would have loved right when I got out of college right when I got out of high school to kind of had this vision. So that's what I'm trying to do, is trying to say, look, there's a lot of different paths you can go than just what you think and what everyone else is doing.
And also, this book is not just for developers who want to be entrepreneurs. You know, I'm a full-time employee for a company that I love. I get to work from home remotely 100%. But what this helps me do, if I follow the steps in here, it's to kind of create an escape route in case, you know, they say, Joe, you're fired, or Joe, just like Yahoo, you can't work remotely anymore. This gives me at least a base to have to fall back on if for some reason I ever wasn't unemployed. It gives me more options, I guess, is what I'm saying, just by doing some of these things like starting a blog and just putting yourself out there more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just imagine, like, I mean, we could take your situation and analyze it real quick. But imagine with what you've been able to accomplish. I mean, you've got a brand around TestDocs. You've got a podcast. You've got your blog. You've got that book. You have made yourself established as an authority in this testing, test automation area. If you needed a job tomorrow, you could put out one tweet, or you could put out, you know, one mention in your podcast or on your blog, and you'd have 50 people emailing you saying, you know, giving you essentially giving you a job offer. Like, that's the value of this. Like, you've built for yourself this huge amount of security. So even if you decide to go out on your own someday, you'd have that option. But just where you're at right now, you've built a huge amount of job security. Plus, you know, one thing that's nice is even within whatever company you're working for, as you start to get recognized as an authority, as they start to see your name and that you've built up an audience, it's good there. It helps you go up the ranks. It helps you have credibility, people take your ideas more seriously because, like, well, hey, this guy is coming with some authority. Other people outside recognize him as an authority. So, you know, that means something within an organization.
Absolutely. And I actually seen that in my current job. They go, well, they learn about me from my blog, and then, oh, wait a minute, I work with this guy.
Yeah.
And then they touch base with me, so it's kind of funny. If someone was to stop blogging, what do you recommend they focus on as a topic? Should it be broad, or should they specialize?
So there's a couple of strategies here. I mean, definitely specialization. This is one of the things that I get the most questions on and the most resistance to, because it's hard. I'm not going to lie and say that this isn't hard, right? Everyone wants to be a generalist. Everyone wants to be a jack of all trades. A lot of that is preached in the software development community and the technology community in general. You need to know a whole bunch of things. And it's true that you should be well-rounded, but being well-rounded is not a good way to market yourself. Right? No one wants the generic product. You want a thing that solves a specific problem that's targeted, right? If you ask for a lawyer, you don't want a general lawyer, right? You want a lawyer that specializes in what your legal problem is, right? If you get a doctor, if you want surgery, you don't want a general practitioner doing surgery on you. You want a brain surgeon doing brain surgery on you. So you have to realize as a software developer or technology professional that it's the same thing. You need to specialize. There's a huge, huge value in this that can't be expressed enough. One example, I'll give you an example from the book, just for career technologists, is about specialization. Is I talk about how the idea of, let's say that you are a Java developer, right? If you create your resume and your blog just, you know, as a Java developer, well, maybe you're going to match in your general area. Maybe there's 5,000 jobs, right, for Java developers. Okay, so you've got a pretty wide set of opportunities, but you're not going to match them very well. So let's say you targeted it and made it more specific, and you said, okay, I'm going to be a Java developer, and my niche is going to be, let's say, Spring framework, a specific framework. Okay, so now you've targeted down further down, right? So maybe there's like 1,000 of those 5,000, right? But let's say you could make it more specific. What if you can specify that you're a Java developer and you do Spring framework and something else, you know, specific stack or technology or whatever, or you specialize in doing responsive UIs using this, right? You might get to this point where you narrow it down so there's only like 50 jobs or even 5 jobs, right? But you'll be so perfectly matched for that job that you're going to have a much better chance of getting that job, and you're probably going to get a better offer because you're going to match so perfectly, because you'll be seen as an expert. And the key is you only need one job, right? So a lot of developers and technologists set out with the idea of appealing to as broad of an audience as possible. But it's kind of silly to make yourself available to match 5,000 jobs when you only need one. Right, it's better to match one so perfectly. So that's kind of the idea here, is that you should pick some kind of a specialization. Even though it's hard to do, you need to be very specific. The more specific you get, the smaller your market will be, but the better match you will be for that market. So you kind of have to do a little bit of a balancing act, right? Obviously, if you specialize too far where the market's so small, it's not going to be very good for you. But more often than not, I see technologists going more general than they need to. Being more specific is almost always better. The other thing that you can do with this, let's say that you're creating a blog and you're picking the theme for the blog, is you can have a specific sort of, I don't want to say gimmick, but it's sort of like a gimmick. Like, what is your slant on this? You know, if you're going to be more general, let's say that you're going to say you're going to do a blog on C# development. Well, maybe you could be the angry C# developer, right? That would be a fun thing. Like, that would, you know, it's not very specific in the niche, but if you did all your blog posts as the angry rant and you had some kind of persona attached to it, some people have been able to do this in various ways. It's a little bit harder to pull off there, but that's another option. For most developers, for most technologists, you should go with being specific, picking a niche, sticking with that niche, just like you've done, Joe, you know, beautifully with test docs and automation. That's a great niche to be in. I think it's very targeted. You have a big enough audience, but it's small enough that it's focused. Right. And that's the key.
I think also what's key is you can always pivot. So don't get stuck. I don't know what to do, so not do it. Just get started. And then you can always pivot. And I think maybe you may have pivoted recently. I think now you describe yourself more as a life coach for software developers. So yeah. I'm not sure if there was a pivot from when you first started Simple Programmers to now. It almost sounds like there was. You were specific, and then you became a little more broad at some point.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And in fact, you know, to be honest with you, when I started out, I didn't know what I'm telling you now. I was just writing a blog just to communicate with my coworkers and to just share what I knew about what I was working on at Java and C# at the time. But now, that I look at it, you know, obviously I would give myself different advice to be more targeted. I wasn't as specific. I had sort of, you know, making the complex simple, which is still my slogan. But I did do a pivot now, and there's something interesting about, you know, about my case here, which is a lot of people might say, well, you're covering a really broad set of topics, John. You're giving the advice to niche down, but you're kind of saying, you know, soft skills, like, you know, life coach for software developer, that's pretty big. You're covering like finances and fitness and all these different things. And the key is to what I'm doing is that I got my blog and my branding got big enough to allow me to attack a bigger market, right? And the thing is, when you're starting out, you want to be more niche. You want to be more specific because it's hard to break into this. If you try to bill yourself as just, you know, an expert in software development, it's going to be really, really hard. That's a big pond and you're a small fish. Yep. But as you become a bigger fish, then you can go after bigger ponds. And so that's kind of where I kind of pivoted and went down that direction. As I said, okay, well, now that I've got 100,000 people visiting my blog every month, now I can appeal to a more wider audience. And that's where I went. But you make an excellent point. Like, you're not necessarily pigeonholing yourself. What you're doing is you're building a brand, you're building an online presence, and you can always leverage that to expand or to go into a different field completely, a different niche completely. A lot of successful people in this industry have done that. And if you look at, you know, one example I always call out is my buddy John Papa, who in the Microsoft community was known as like the Silverlight guy. And if you know the story of Silverlight, Silverlight was Microsoft's flash competing technology, and it's pretty much dead. Microsoft pretty much killed that thing. But he pivoted into single page applications, and he became the single page application guy. And he did a beautiful job of that. He took his audience with him, and he grew it further. So even though he picked a technology that totally got killed, it didn't matter, because once he's built that audience, once he's built that expertise and people know him, they're willing to trust him and follow him into a different area.
So based on the feedback you're getting from the book, is there one tip or one area you think people are really excited about that they're finding a real benefit from?
I think I would say probably the most comments and feedback I get on is on the productivity side. I think a lot of people that sort of follow me know that I produce a lot of stuff every week and every year, that I've produced a lot of content, and they think that maybe there's a lot of people working to produce this, and they wonder how I could do this by myself, or maybe that I just spend 80 hours a week working. And so in that productivity section, I reveal pretty much, I don't hold anything back. I show you exactly how I do it, exactly how I am productive, kind of the things that worked and didn't work for me, and the system that I've developed over time. And so I think that's probably the thing that appeals to a lot of people, is just this kind of pull back the curtain and how is John able to do this?
Absolutely. It's actually one of my favorite sections, the productivity. And I think you even have a video on the workflow of how you actually plan your day to be so productive. And it's key, because if I think I've said this before, if they go to Pluralsight and check for John Samez, I think like 50, 55 courses come up. It's insane. So you really have a social proof that you're successful using this technique. So thank you for documenting that. I think that's going to be a big help for a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope so. I think productivity is something that a lot of people struggle with, and you can be a lot more productive than you might think. And that's something that I learned. It's shocking also to see, you know, when you start implementing some of the things I talk about in that section, where you start tracking your time and seeing where your time goes, you might think your day is being filled up with stuff, and it is, but it's not the stuff that you intend to. So there's usually, you know, most people can double their efficiency, which doesn't seem like it at the get-go. But if you go through and apply some of those things, I think just about anyone can get a benefit from it.
Before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give a developer or tester to help manage their careers? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
Sure. So again, I think I'm going to have to say, aside from buying soft skills, I would say to go ahead and take the step to start a blog. Like I said, if you're interested, I have a course, I'll give you the link for it, a free, totally free course, a three-week course on how to create a blog that boosts your career, going over, you know, step-by-step lessons on how to do this, because I know it can be a little bit intimidating at first, and how to be successful at it, because, you know, a lot of people create a blog and then they don't know what to do. So I kind of wanted to give that out. And that's really, you know, I feel like that's the biggest bang for your buck. There's a lot of other things that you can do, but starting there is going to be a huge benefit. And if you want to contact me, the best place to reach me is just to go to simpleprogrammer.com. That's, you can kind of find all my stuff there. If you sign up for the blog course, you'll get emails from me, and then you'll eventually go into my list, or you can sign up directly to my list, and I send out weekly updates on everything that I post, and usually motivational type of emails on Fridays that kind of help you to be more productive and to be better in your career. So yeah, so that's kind of it. And then if you don't mind, I'd like to do a bit of a giveaway for your listeners to the show.
Awesome.
So I have a product out there, a kind of a video course with books called How to Market Yourself as a Software Developer. I think we might have talked about it last time. Yep. I was on. But I'd like to give that away. I sell it normally for $299, but I will give away a copy of that to someone who comments on this podcast episode and just give some kind of proposal for how they want to manage their career or make their career better, what they plan to do. Because I'm a man of action. I believe that, you know, you have to take action. So if you want to be eligible to win this, I guess, you know, Joe, I'll let you leave it up to you how to pick the winner. But just post a comment on this blog post and say what action you're going to take to improve your career.
Awesome. Thank you so much, John, for that awesome giveaway. So here's the deal. The date that this episode was released is January 18th, so I'll give you all a week to leave a comment. So to be eligible for the free giveaway, you need to leave a comment on this episode at www.testtalks.com/36. And like John said, you need to post a comment and tell us what action you are going to take to better your career. Then on January 25th, I will randomly draw the lucky winner. And after you leave a comment, make sure to check out our sponsor, Sauce Labs, by clicking on the More Info link under the exclusive sponsor section. And as always, I always appreciate either a quick rating of Test Talks on iTunes, or feel free to leave a comment while you're there. It really helps in the show's rankings. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.